Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to the YCLA Magazine radio show. I am your host, Katrina Dalway, and thank you so much for joining us on today. And as always, I'm always delighted to be speaking with you, to encourage you, to empower you, to offer you some better way to pursue your purpose, your destiny, to provide you with strategies from experts, to allowing you the opportunity to hear from people that have overcome so many obstacles to get to where they are, such as celebrities and movie directors. And so we love the YCLA Magazine radio show. And you know that YCLA Magazine radio show stands for You Can Live Again. So today's topic is a topic that really, really hits close to home today. And by the way, we do have some great shows coming up, talking to some really good people, but I wanted to chat with you today. We have an opportunity to really, you know, draw on some clear motives in how or thought-provoking patterns and how you continue to move ahead and how you continue to progress. Okay? Okay. Today, my topic is God the Motivator. And on Facebook today, I put on the fact that as a child, I grew up very, very shy. I was extremely shy. But there was always something inside of me that really was stronger than the shyness that I had, the fear that I had. I grew up, you know, watching other people. I was the one always in the background. I was the one that was always in the background. Yes, I know, right? But I was the one that sat in the background. I was always the third leg. I was always the helper. I was always the one to make sure that my other friends were okay, you know. And I was kind of like, you know, just a little peon, you know, if you will. And I was really fine with that, you know. But as I grew older, you know, I watched and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I can be like that, you know. And, you know, I can do that. I remember and I think you've heard this story, you probably heard it a while ago, but some kind of way my teachers would always pull on me, you know, and I would be the one that they would say, hey, we need for you to be the one to actually do the lead in a play. Now, again, I'm the peon, the third leg. I'm the one that is telling people, you know, hey, I'm here to help you, you know. So I was always the one that did that for the most part. And so to be chosen by my teachers was amazing to me because of the fact that I just considered myself, you know, everybody's little helper, you know. And then I went through, you know, a little bullying, too, as well. So, you know, it was just one of those things where I really didn't think much of myself. And I didn't want to, you know, just really go out. But my teachers always pulled on me because, you know, I really spoke well. I was very, very articulate as a child. And, you know, and that's because of my parents' upbringing. They were teachers with master's degrees and so forth and so on. So they, when we get on the phone, even with our relatives, we have to speak good English and a good language. And I was always the one they really pushed to get on the phone because of how well I pronounced and enunciated my words, right? Yeah. So, but my teachers would just pull on me, you know, to MC for, you know, a program even as a child, because I also went to Catholic school, so the nuns would, you know, really, you know, try to push me. But it's so amazing. I didn't understand at the time as a child what was really going on. I just knew in my mind and in my heart, I was still this little shy child. And so as I continued to progress and go to high school, you know, I still struggled with that, you know. I didn't mind being in the back, you know. You know, we had some really, if you've ever attended Booker T. Washington in high school, we had some really phenomenal singers and actors and dancers. And, you know, I played the piano, classical piano, and I really wasn't all that interested. By the time I made it to high school, I was just really pretty much done with classical piano. Although I did learn a lot, it was very cultivating. I was just totally in another world, you know. Just at that point, I was really seeking what I really wanted to do, who I really wanted to be. And I know in my heart that I was also trying to become who I know God wanted me to be. So in high school, you know, still, you know, assisting people, I would be the usher. I was the usher, you know. I would sit there. And after ushering, watch these phenomenal, phenomenal plays, theater musical plays, and just overwhelmingly awesome. But me, little old me, I would then go in the back, and I would be the ones that helped them get out of their clothes and get into another outfit. And, you know, I didn't mind assisting. I didn't mind helping. I didn't mind being there. But I wanted to be some kind of way a part of it. And that stirring up in me, so that when I graduated, by the time I graduated from high school, I went into junior college, and my peers who knew me in high school really started tugging on me. Because by my junior year in high school, I auditioned for a song, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, my sophomore year. All of a sudden, people discovered, oh, she can sing. But by my junior year, I was just trying to graduate from high school. And so my freshman year in college, people started tugging on me about singing. Scared to pieces, but I had this longing. I knew it was something I was supposed to do. I just didn't know how to get out of it. You know, and I would pray and I would ask God, you know, God, you know, I know I want to sing. I know I want to sing. You know, help me. You know, I didn't know how to really just, you know, do it, you know. But he was a comforter for me. He let me know that he was there with me all the way. And so I knew in the end, by the time I finished my freshman year, that I really wanted to do gospel. That was just, you know, my end-all, be-all was that. And I pursued that, you know. And by the way, I wasn't a great gospel singer. I was just a singer, like a balladeer. But I knew that I wanted to do gospel. That was that. I couldn't explain to you where it came from, but I knew I wanted to do it. And the only way I could do it was if I got into the gospel arena, from the choir. So I was going completely away from how I was raised. I was raised very proper. I was raised in classical piano. I went to a traditional church. Our sister church was Park City's Baptist Church. So, you know, I was totally going in a whole different direction of my upbringing, because that inner motivation, that inner strength that I know was a direct link to God, So time goes on, you know, I'm in gospel choirs, and they put me on the spot, and I couldn't really do it. And I'd have, you know, some of the most powerful gospel singers tell me, you can sing, but God can't use you until you overcome your shyness. I really. Now, mind you, I'm doing all kinds of stuff, you know, but my shyness would just, I would get so nervous. I would get so, you know, and I would pull back sometimes. And I'd go back and I'd pull back, you know. In the interim, I could, you know, direct choirs. But when it came to my singing, I would just go get so fearful. You know, I didn't know if I was good enough. But I still had this longing. And I knew I was supposed to be doing gospel. I knew it. Time I became 35, I knew that I was at a crossroads, and either I was going to sink or swim. And there I was, about to sink. It was a major, major play. We were at the PAL, and we were brought back to the Majestic. It was all over with. But during that process, I really had a meeting on the minds of God. And God let me know, I am no respecter of person. So you're either going to sing to me or you're going to sing to men. And he put me in a situation to allow him to strengthen me, to motivate me. And my motivation was my faith in God. Ultimately, all those years, all that I kept holding on to, I know I'm supposed to gospel, that was faith in action. I could see it. I could feel it. And now, emceeing the House of Blues Gospel Brunch on a major world platform. But God was my motivator the whole time, and he knew he had to take me to the point where I had to overcome my shyness. The most difficult, debilitating thing that I ever experienced in the world, because in this play, some of the most powerful people in gospel were in this play. And it was about me being in love with a man that didn't want to do right. And by the way, I was living that out. Amazingly so, I was able to put my peon mind on God and my faith. And when it was came time for me to sing at this place, and this is before the House of Blues Gospel Brunch, I became liberated. I allowed God to liberate me from my shyness. You know, that little shy girl back in the day started really coming through, you know, and singing. But the only way, like a good gospel artist friend of mine told me, the only way God will use you, Trina, is if you overcome your fear. God cannot use you in fear. And that kept replaying in my head. It kept replaying in my mind. It kept replaying in my heart. It kept replaying in my spirit. And another great, great gospel singer, John P. Key, said, "Girl, you can sing." Pointed me out at everybody. Just pointed directly at me. But I was still so trying to figure it out. But until that time, it allowed me to get in a situation where I had no choice but to trust him being my every being and taking me to the next level. Had I not passed that test, I probably would have to go through the same cycle another 5 years. When I did that, that play liberated me from allowing people to dictate to me how I was supposed to sing, how I was supposed to sound. Because God is no respecter of persons. And because he's no respecter of persons, he looks at our heart. He wants our heart. He wants our love. I was able to free myself through faith in him. I could sing in front of anyone now and not care because he liberated me. It was a time I was shaking at my knees in rehearsals. I would be shaking. Powerful, powerful singers. And here, me, this little one, I want to be like that. Well, here's your defining moment right here. Either you sink or you swim. Either you take the left road or the right road. And I chose to honor God in my singing. And because of that, I became free. God, my motivator. That's my encouragement to you, my dear friends. So if you are on the edge, if you be tipped over to jump, you just have to jump. There's no trying to figure it out. You just jump and let God do the rest, and he'll do it. He will do it. God will let you let God God will let you make the choice, is what I'm wanting to say. God will let you make the choice. And when you choose him, there's freedom on the other side. There's liberation. There's power. There's God. I look at people now and I'm like, God, let's roll. Roll with God. Let God be your motivator for anything that you're dealing with, for any doubt that you have in something that you know you need to be doing, that you know you got to do. And you may be going through shyness or fear. Whatever it is, let God. I assure you, if you let God, he will do the rest, because now you put the power in his hands. I love God. I love the Lord with all my heart. And then you really can truly feel his love through the liberation. You can feel his love, his peace, his joy through the liberation. People don't get me. People live, because I can go on and say, okay, if something happens that I don't get, I'm okay. Because I know the God I serve wants the best for me, and I don't have to worry about nothing. If something is given or something is taken, I know that I'm in God's hands no matter what. And he's going to make it right. But let me tell you something. When he ordains you for something, you better make yourself ready to do it. Because it will keep coming back to you until you do it, until you complete the task that God has for you to do. Listen, I love you, and I thank God that I'm able to talk with you on today. Listen, we got some great shows that's coming up these next few weeks. Please join us. Please join me. I'm Katrina Darway. Thank you for joining us on today. I love your emails. Continue to email me. I do respond, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. And don't forget, you can live again.